Team, 101.1 FM, Santa Cruz, Free and Wild Radio Preserve, because baby guitars need a place to play. Hi, this is Mauro and the Tangerine Dream Team, 101.1 FM, Santa Cruz, Free and Wild Radio Preserve, because baby guitars need a place to play.
Mauro will be having a new show Thursday from 2 to 3.
It's a freaky day in free radio town. Has me weird. Oh, let's see, I gotta start over because I've got 101.1. Let me do the whole thing. It's a freaky day in free radio town. 101.1 FM is laying it down. I view the future with much alarm. Nuclear power has lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles had not passed, and suddenly it seems I got tangerine dreams, and a smiling coral reef is bringing relief, like sunshine shining everywhere. 100 watts of sunshine everywhere. Is that close enough? It's a freaky day in free radio town. 101.1 FM is laying it down. I viewed the future with much alarm. Nuclear power has lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles had not passed, and suddenly it seems I've got tangerine dreams and a smiling coral reef is bringing... Really? Start over. It's a freaky day in free radio town. Has me weird. Oh, let's see. I gotta start over because I've got 101.1. It's a freaky day in free radio town. 101.1 FM is laying it down. I view the future with much alarm. I gotta write it down.
We'll do it another time, because then I'll get the...
Coral reef is bringing... No, brings relief with sunshine shining everywhere. 100 watts of sunshine everywhere. That's like what I did.
Call in and say which one is the best of all the ones. D-O-Y-O-N.
And why are you camped out here on the street, on Center Street in Santa Cruz?
Well, we are officially Peace Camp 2010, and we have been camped previous to this for 39 days at the county courthouse here in Santa Cruz, and we decided to let the city know that we hadn't forgotten where City Hall is, so we brought the fight directly home, and we're here to overturn the sleeping ban and get an amnesty for all the tickets that were written for the sleeping ban.
So, sleeping ban, and why shouldn't the city, county, state have a ban on sleeping?
Well, it's a natural function. If you don't sleep, you die. So, in essence, the sleeping ban is a get-out-of-town law. And that's not only unconstitutional, but un-American.
So, let me ask you, where else, why not have a house? Why not have an apartment? Why not sleep in a space that's authorized?
Well, not everybody has that option. I mean, for... Let's face it, life is life. There are rich people, there are poor people, and there always will be. And that's just endemic to the capitalistic system, poverty is. There's no cure for homelessness.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah. Well, hi, when identify, who am I speaking with?
Yes, my name is Mike True.
Well, hi, Mike.
I am a friend of Coral Bruins, actually. She knows who I am. Oh,
really?
Oh, you're Coral. You're Coral.
I'm here, yeah. I came to this place on Tuesday. They were telling me that I'm supposed to do a radio show tonight.
Yeah, I kind of know how that works. Spontaneity.
And in a studio with me,
I'm Dave and Tony.
Hey.
Hey.
My new name is Plutonium.
Oh, Plutonium.
Oh, my God. This is a call from New Orleans, Louisiana.
No, you got to be kidding.
Yeah,
I knew you were there. So, God. Well, you're just in the right place at the right time with these guys. Plutonium is here.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
And drummer Dave.
Drummer Dave.
Drummer Dave. Yeah, we know a few drummer Daves.
Well, yeah, because you took over the streets for many years in Santa Cruz before you left town. You know, I don't know if they kicked you out or you just said bye.
No, I said enough was enough, actually, pretty much so. But you know, the world is all getting cranked around, and we're losing more and more control. I'm just wondering where to go next. And New Orleans is such an interesting vortex here. You once you get here, you can't leave. That's part of the problem.
Right, and a guy named Paul Gunther has a website. He's a technologist or a climatologist, and he was being interviewed on a talk show a couple nights ago. And the last question that this NPR guy asked is, Paul, if you were living in Japan, where would you leave? And he says, there's no place to go. So wherever you're at, you're in the right place, because we're all going to get the same doses of transuranic fallout.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's true. I mean, but you know, we just had this oil leakage situation down here in the Gulf, and they're so good at making those things disappear. It's just amazing to me that people kind of buy into that. But we're going to be suffering the consequences of that deal for decades.
Well,
and
I heard
nobody's going to. Yeah, and they're going to do the same thing with the thing in Japan. They're going to have like a no-fly zone, and they're going to restrict anybody going into that area, and it'll just be like a scientific. They'll use it as a laboratory, is what they'll do. So,
right. Well, they know that the rice crop is dead for this year. Half of all the rice that Japan used was grown in the prefecture that includes the five or six exploding plants plus Tokyo and two borderline prefectures. All of that rice is not going to be edible this year, and maybe forever. So, but Louisiana is that borders the Gulf, doesn't it?
Right, which is where we get our seafood from. And New Orleans is it's all about the seafood here.
Exactly,
I mean,
and
that's a
I heard
big part of the cuisine.
Okay, the only contribution I have to make on that is that the U.S. Navy is forcing their commissary people to buy the shrimp from the local shrimpers.
That's
just
right.
To give them something to sell. And I understand
right.
The people in your neighborhood are getting sick on that shrimp, but it's okay. I can't believe the Navy's going to actually serve that to their Navy people, but they're trying to help out the local populace by our local shrimpers. And they're probably going to shit can that stuff after they buy it.
It's a catch-22, isn't it? You don't want to kill people's livelihoods, which you would inevitably have to pay for as a responsible party. So you want to encourage them to think that they're back in the game again and that there's nothing wrong, because if there's any period, it's like having a disability. If all of a sudden you don't have that disability anymore, then it all bets are off from there on out. If things go downhill again and you start getting into trouble with your health or the health of the group around that particular spill or whatever the incident is, those people will then cry out and they'll say, no, it's not related.
Right.
Mike,
can we use you as a source of information on what we heard about the shrimp being harvested and used to the bad effect on the local populace? Are people actually eating that stuff and getting sick?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You don't know, because it's not being reported by anything in the media here. If things are happening, I know there's monitoring agencies, the clinics and the hospitals and so on and so forth, I'm sure are, you know, taking data. But that's a long-term study we're talking about. I was listening to a Japanese TV show this morning where educators were saying, we have all these kids to study now for the next 20 or 30 years. And we want to make sure that we have a system for following their lives so we see exactly how this all works out.
Well, they have the pattern from Chernobyl, because Chernobyl has a meeting every single year to count the people who have died from caused by the actual explosion. And I heard the voice of a crying Russian man, one of those guys who was gung-ho and volunteered for 90 seconds of duty to take a bucket of cement and run in and throw it at the melting
the crack in the wall, yeah.
And then run like hell, and he was called a hero for using 90 seconds of his life. Well, he's crying about all the hellish effects of that 90 seconds and on his life and his children's lives and his wife's. I mean, people are giving birth to monsters. And the count of actual dead attributed to Chernobyl is now 982,000 people and counting. And I guess next year we'll get another count.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because that stuff does not go away overnight. And it floats all over the place.
The other story was 25 miles upwind, maybe it's 25 kilometers, a small town in Japan became a cesium hotspot, which is very poisonous stuff. And it's actually the stuff that makes Chernobyl area in Kiev uninhabitable for thousands of years. Well, people were told, you can move away if you want to, but if you move, there are no actual health effects right now. What they mean, they're not going to get cancer in 2 days. But there are no health effects, but if you decide to leave, plan to leave and never come back. In other words, take your stuff and go.
Right, right. So and that makes sense. And they can't really, they don't really want them to go back there. And, we have a situation here also with the post-Katrina flooding, the breaking of the levees here and so on and so forth. Yeah. We have a whole section of this city that was basically sold to people that were just above the poverty level with this, but I won't even go into that, but it's swamp now. You can't do anything.
Mother Nature's foreclosure.
That's right, that's right. Right. And nobody seems to care about the recovery of that kind of thing, but in looking at that, part of the problem for recovering that area was there were petroleum, there were there's a refinery over on that side. And it leaked all sorts of stuff that went into the ground, soaked in the ground once that flooding saturated that whole section of town. It's all poison over there, too. Nobody's saying nothing about that.
I just have to say that drummer Dave put his earmuffs on, so I guess he might have something to say about Louisiana or radiation or dirty, filthy monkeys.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
They're everywhere. One just pissed in my ear. Okay, so what's happening now? Are we finished with this? Are you coming back someday just to visit this plutonium-laced California agro mess we've got here?
Well, actually, I am a hired government observer at this point.
Oh.
That's what they call people who are on disability.
Okay. All right. Well,
I am kind of stuck. Like I said, the vortex has kind of pulled me in, and I'm here for the duration, I fear.
I see.
Until the next hurricane goes through.
What is the actual area you're in? What's the name of the town?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, really? It's New Orleans. You don't say
New
down there, you say Narlands.
That's right.
So, gnarly place.
Being as I'm formerly from the West Coast and parts north,
They forgive you, do they? They forgive you. You're a veteran and you're a pitiful character, so if you say New Orleans, they'll forgive you for a while.
For a while, yeah. You got to get to know them. It's all about who you know around here. It is all about who you know.
Right.
So I was emailing back and forth. Coral and I communicate quite a bit and have over the years. And I had written a poem and passed it on because I do poetry as well as song lyrics and other visual art. But I was going to share that poem, if I may.
Oh, great. Sounds good.
All right, well, here's what I've got to do.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. We're sharing poetry and all our expressions.
Okay, this is... First of all, I have to put on glasses.
While you're getting organized, I talked to the Board of Supervisors this morning, and you might be interested in the construct I laid on them.
What's that?
No, just go ahead and do your poem, and we'll use me a fill-in somewhere.
Okay. Okay, this is just a silly one. It's called Kiss Her on the Cheek Before She Goes to Sleep. Or, Where is Normal When We Need Her? Pumpkins that pretend to be motor cars, bicycles with banana seats and chopper handlebars, peasant dress wrapped softly around a sultry silhouette, the flower girl. Oh, and I mustn't forget the weed that chokes a bitter memory to death. The one, you know, the one that got away. The smell of smoke from autumn's burning leaves, tears in my eyes, and all of it, all of that savoir-faire, the love I once imagined there, just fingertips apart, tips touching, tips tapping, the keys, strings strumming, harmonics to the heart. I love that music. the raucous energy of life's gregarious symphony. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pilot, pirate. Yes, life for me, embedded in this cryptic code, the noble art of make-believe. Did I really wish this world? Hoist it up upon my shoulder and never tire? No, not me. Me, I'll be swinging in lazy circles or resting in the shade of a summer oak tree. Of mice and birds and those that dare to share this dream with me, to thee I sing. And on that note, if your inner child does not feel safe, kiss her on the cheek before she goes to sleep, and in your arms, let her awake.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yay. That's such a wonderful segue into what I was going to talk about. I started out talking to the supervisors, introducing myself as being there for the second time on the same subject, technically. We were against smart meters being put on our houses, which radiate the atmosphere like a radio tower does, or a cell phone tower does. Anyway, I was advocating at that time, several weeks ago, that we start a tumor registry. You don't have to worry about what people say. You don't have to believe anybody, but just believe what happens to people in terms of tumor counts in your neighborhood. And it doesn't cost very much to start one. All you do is have a phone number that doctors can call in anonymously and talk about anonymous patients developing a certain kind of tumor, and that's it. And maybe give a date and a time. Now, the minute after, or the actually the minute, the day after Three Mile Island was discovered to be in bad shape, the governor of Pennsylvania stopped a tumor registry that was going on for years. He just said, we're not going to do that stuff anymore, because they didn't really want to know the truth, because they knew that they were having a meltdown, which I didn't even find out till a couple months ago. It was the worst nuclear accident until Chernobyl was 5 years later. Anyway, so I said, John, I noticed last time I was talking about a tumor registry, the only one of you guys on the supervisory board there who was nodding yes was the new man, Leopold. I guess he's a nice guy. I met him several times. Anyway, I said, but this time I'm talking about the same subject. We need a tumor registry to see what the fallout's going to be doing to the population. And I forgot to tell them how cheap it would be. So next time they have a meeting, I'm going to go and reiterate. And cheap. So that's what we need. Everyone should start agitating for a tumor registry. We don't have to take anybody's word for how bad things are, because the government is either going to lie to us or not tell us the truth until it's too late for us to save our kids and our families.
Right.
So that's
that's ultimately the downside of the whole thing, is that they're going to tell you two things. They're going to tell you that people move around too much to really keep track of that nonsense, and if they do keep track of it, it has to be a national study, which will be done in hospitals on the East Coast, the West Coast, and something in Chicago, blah, 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 so that the Center for Disease Control is going to be in charge of that.
Right.
Then what they do is they disappear that information. Even if it's being given up to the proper authorities, nothing comes of it. For instance, and I'll give you a very specific for instance, 5,000 birds fell out of the sky in Arkansas. You remember that story?
Yep, I remember that.
Do you know what happened to those birds?
What's that?
Do you know what happened to those birds?
I thought they flew through a radio, a cell phone tower beam. I don't know. What happened?
Who else heard
explosion.
Something different?
Explosion. I heard of HARP. Navy
fireworks.
Oh yeah. Well, we heard a lot of things, and also a bunch of other things died somewhere else. All it was fish. Big fish kill in a river.
But that's right. And these things are happening, and they say 2 or 3 days after that the information is there's going to be autopsies done on these animals.
Yeah. Well,
to figure out what happened, and then you never hear another word about it. Never.
Oh, you fly a
swarm. I searched for it for weeks. Nothing.
Right. Well, we have the main sewer media to thank for that. I mean, they're totally in lockstep with the corporate.
That's exactly right. The information that they want to disappear disappears, and they've got that control, and they have that control well in hand. I have a thing going that's saying free the internet. Basically, if we don't make the internet a public access, we are screwing ourselves royal.
Do you know
because they will lock it up? You will have to pay for what they give you.
A couple months ago,
coming down the pipe.
A couple months ago on the Amy Goodman show, she had a guy who is saying that Obama has hired 60,000 private contractors to get like 1.6 million hits or on certain code words or code phrases out of the internet. So we don't really have a very free internet anymore. It's like it's into the total information realm. And I want to say on the dying of animals, secretly or not secretly, but for unknown causes. And if you fly a swarm of bees through a cell phone tower beam, they're gone. Yep. They hit the ground. They don't know what to do. So that's
entirely possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they also are using weapons that use a sonic beam that disrupts you, that makes you literally ill and shakes your brain so much. And they're using it for crowd control. And I'm wondering if they weren't testing this stuff.
Well, there's a documented case in 1980 where they used microwaves to disrupt a rally of women doing something. I don't know what the cause was, but they successfully, the Defense Department, whoever, did crowd control with microwaves, very similar to the ones we use to power our cell phones or to be the carrier waves for our cell phones. They were directed by parabolic reflectors at specific people who immediately just dropped out. So that's documented. That's public knowledge.
Military weapons. They're testing military weapons on civilians. That's
they can do it. They have permission. There are things now that are being written into laws that allow the U.S. government, if it's in the national interest that they do whatever it is that they do, then it's all good. I mean, it's like it's silly putty. It's like they've molded these things to shake and bake, and they're using this to keep everybody confused about what their rights are or aren't, and they're using a lot of the TV shows that are on TV to confuse people.
A lot of these things that you're talking about are artifacts of the Cold War. We just never stopped after the Cold War. Terrorism kind of took over for the Russians, but the Cold War should have ended a lot of our fears and a lot of the methods we were using to control the situation, including our own citizens, and they they didn't want to stop doing what they were doing. It's an addiction.
It's corporate rule. It's keeping the big companies international. That's keeping us involved. Internationally, militarily, and also in the money funding business. I mean, we gave I don't know how many billions of dollars to the main guy in Egypt, and they ran him out, and now we're scurrying around trying to set up whoever the next guy is and bribe him into being our pal again.
I have a personal opinion on that, Mike. It's Mubarak can still cash a $1 billion check in Canada, England, and the United States. I believe he has a lot of videotapes of him torturing the people that we sent to him to be tortured. That's a very well-known technique. When William Buckley's brother got tortured by people in the Middle East because he was exposed as the CIA man in the area, they tortured him for 24 hours and put it on videotape and sent that to Buckley and the United States intelligence people. And they do take video. So Mubarak has Obama over a barrel, or at least the whole United States over a barrel, because if we do anything to steal his money, he can just release this stuff, and this stuff's getting released, and it's making our name pretty bad around the world. In other words, all those torture things that are military guys taking trophies off of dead bodies and that sort of thing.
That doesn't even get started in terms of the privatized military. We're running 50% of our military is privatized at this point. You know that, right?
Oh, yes.
These people can do just about anything they want to do. They do not have a, code.
We don't have to follow the rules of war anymore because, first of all, Obama's not sending any troops to Libya, and the next day we find that a whole contingent of CIA army people are there. Just like when Kennedy sent 25,000 advisors to Vietnam, we're sending thousands of advisors, supposedly, guys to you know, get the skinny on what's happening on the ground. But those rebels, they also, I don't know, it's starting to come out in the open. The rebels include people that came back from killing Americans in Afghanistan and Iraq to defend their country against their hated Gaddafi. Yes. And so we're going to be arming the same guys that were killing us a few months ago.
Right.
To take control of Libya, and how can they possibly end up being our friend? I mean, they're killers of Americans, and we're going to be supporting them to take out Gaddafi.
Here's the thing: money rules. Money rules, and what's going to end up happening is whoever replaces Gaddafi is going to want the money, and we're going to give it to them, and that's how that works. And because it's not anything that is odd or unusual, it's just business as usual within the corporate world, and that's the way they're going to work it.
Well, a couple of programs down the line, I'm going to have a whole blanket theory about what's going on. I'm going to call it failure capitalism, because the more we fail, the more we choose to fail in all our foreign policy things, the more money can be made by people so that supposedly they won't make the same mistake again. But by making mistakes, there are people that make maximum money off of those mistakes, and that's going to keep on happening.
Well, you're going to have to deal with this whole brainwashing thing, because this country is definitely addicted to the little box that has the word. And the word is whatever the advertisers want to put on there. And that's a corporate reality. That's what they're getting, and that's what they believe exists.
Right.
That's the reality they believe exists. And until they see something different from that, they're not going to get it. The whole problem is that it's going to have to be them like the birds smacking up against something invisible and falling down dead for people to say, hey, this ain't happening. This is not right. So, you know, I saw personally what happens in a third world country when the United States military comes in, because they came into the New Orleans area gang busting. And they came in here with their black ops and their this, that, and the other to protect the wealthy and pretty much ignore the poor. But they did their thing, and they were all over the place. And it was martial law here, basically. And you can see this going into other countries. You can just imagine. And I was in Vietnam, so I also got a little bit of kickback from that.
How about interlude of a humorous song while you recharge your batteries, Mike? And Dave and I were going to sing a song.
Yeah, yeah. You guys go on wandering on with your band selves.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying listening to you. I'm talking too much, way too much. There's somebody else out there. Give it a go.
Okay, well, we're going to sing a little song here that I wrote a couple of days ago called So Long.
So Long, it's been good to know you.
And
all right.
Dave and Carl are going to join me on the chorus. And I'm going to start with the chorus so that everybody out there can help sing along, too.
A one, two, three, four.
So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, we got Ayatollah Obama to issue his fatwa song. And we gotta be grifting along.
By now it's too late to stop playing dumb. You'll stay stuck on stupid until kingdom come. Played for a fool or played like a drum. We made you a tool of us corporate scum. And it's
so long, it's been good to know ya. So long, there's no net below ya. So long, we got Ayatollah Obama to issue this fatwa song. And we gotta be grifting along.
The big lie is always as good as it sounds. We bought up your Congress and the pals in your towns, covered corruption neath judicial gowns, so junk science can rule this damnation of clowns. And
it's so long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, we got Ayatollah Obama to issue this fatwa song, and we gotta be grifting along.
Plutonium used to be bad for your health, but why should you fear what can't be felt or smelt? So we prioritized your health below wealth, and your taxes are now used to kill you with stealth.
And it's so long, it's been good to know ya. So long, there's no net below ya. So long, we've got Ayatollah Obama to issue this fatwa song. And we've got to be trucking along.
Monkey along. Yes, sir. All right. All you guys who joined with us, we appreciate it. Thank you. What's up?
Wow.
Is Mike still there?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Woohoo!
Thank you from the Monkey Gallery. They had the comments. Everyone did. That was a pretty cool song. Hope you tuned in by choice to the Tangerine Dream Team show here on freakradio.org with Plutonium and Drummer Dave.
Dave.
Live.
Dave.
Well, kind of live.
First name is Plutonium.
My first name is Plu, my last name is My middle name's Tony, I'm Plutonium.
That's not very funny.
I know.
We wanted to have a serious talk about this.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, there's a way that you can just calm yourself and try to get the people in Japan to feel better, but it's not going to happen by what they're saying on the news. It's like everybody's got to do it themselves, and we've all got to give a higher cause to this whole thing. Why did this happen, and what can we do? Like, how can we get this radiation to diffuse and turn into something that's more, you know, usable? We just can't use it the way it is. I mean, this planet, it wasn't meant for plutonium mixed. Would you explain what that means, a MOX combination?
Yeah, I'd never knew it occurred prior to a couple of weeks ago. I have coffee with a retired Sandia employee named Richard. He has always been for nuclear power. And even though every conversation we've had in public, we have witnesses to our conversations, they're pretty vitriolic. Me against nuclear power since 30, 40 years ago. And Richard for it, and still for it, even though about two Fridays ago I predicted that the plants would melt down, and also I predicted that they would up the 8.9 Richter scale number to 9.0. Being a civil engineer, I had It doesn't take a genius to figure out when damage appears to be 10 times greater than what the number calls for. With the Richter scale, it's a logarithmic scale. Every single tenth of a number, tenth of a hole, makes the quake 10 times worse than the previous number. In other words, 8.9 is one level of damage, and 9.0 is 10 times more level of damage. And based on that astute observation by watching TV and the Weather Channel, I decided that they were going to up the number to 9.0. And I told them that on Friday. No way, it's 8.9. Well, of course, we did that with the quake we had here, last big quake we had here in California. It was about 2 miles from my house, but the major damage was, the epicenter was 2 miles from our house in Aptos Village area. But most of the damage was occurring out in the marina area, where houses were built on mush, and that's where they fell down a lot. But it went from, I think, a 7.0 to a 7.1. I predicted that, too, because of just looking at what was going on. And so this guy was, everything that he heard from me was correct, and everything he told me was wrong. But today he told me, I said, Richard, here's a chance to redeem yourself. No, it was yesterday, Monday. What happens if one atom of plutonium gets into your lung, Richard? He says, you will get lung cancer in 400,000 years.
Death.
Now, this sounded correct to all the people, because Richard is an expert on plutonium and weapons. And I said, well, I gave you your chance and you muffed it, Richard. Sorry about that. No, one atom of plutonium in your lung will cause a lung cancer pretty damn quick. Plutonium is a man-made element that's so toxic, they named it after the god of hell, Pluto. And anywhere from the amount of plutonium on the head of a pin and 1 pound of plutonium properly distributed, if that's the word, properly, can end all life on the planet. And the reason I give you that wide range of volumes is that's what I've heard over the years. The first scientists that dealt with it thought it was so toxic that maybe just a gram of it was enough to do it. Then it was considered a lot safer than that, and only one, and it, as much as a pound was necessary to knock off all life on Earth. And then the other facts are that the cockroaches can handle 400 times as much radiation as we can, so they will rule the Earth after we're gone. And I guess they'll use us for food, too. And mice and rodents, being primates, not primates, but, you know, animals of our type, they'll last maybe 30 or 40 years into the future. So we're going to become the bottom of the food chain, and the top of the food chain will be mice. And then when they go, well, actually, cockroaches will be the top. And maybe we'll evolve intelligent cockroaches over time, because Mother Nature has all of the time in the world. She's going to have to give the cockroaches a brain. They don't have one. And eyes, they don't have any of those either. But they're sure.
And flies.
And they, right. And maybe monkeys will last longer than us, too.
All
I don't
know. Green and buzzing.
Well, I'm listening. I'm through being a drag on the thing.
I want to hear this conversation. So what do you have on the topic, Dave? Every day.
I got it right here.
Every day, I know Dave is updated. Updated what's happening from the Fukushima.
I need some. Some volume.
Ooh.
There we go. I'm here now.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody, when March 11th happened, I saw a cloud and a plume and some stuff fly up in the air in Fukushima, Japan. And Alex Jones aired it, and he tried to get the word on what was in the plume of smoke that was coming up from the nuclear plant that was, they said it was an explosion. Well, I know that when nuclear plants emit an explosion, that means that there is a lot more going up into the air that is unknown substances. Now, the president, in the next hour, should have been completely mortified. But instead, he went and played hockey, or patted them on the backs for a good hockey game. And he went home and got some sleep. Now, I know that there was supposed to be a world convention right then and there when this nuclear power plant exploded. People, nuclear power is not a toy. It is not something that is safe in your kitchen. It is not. It comes through your electrical outlets as electricity, but in that plant, it is poison. Deadly, deadly poison to run a steam turbine which generates power. The nuclear radiation has nothing to do with generating the power, okay? It's heat, and heat drives the turbine, the piston, and it turns a generator, okay? It's all made to run a turbine, this nuclear fuel, which boils water, okay? You boil water, you turn a fan, and off the fan comes electricity to your home. And that's about it. Now, if that stuff that's boiling that water gets to come out of the water, you will have what is called a meltdown. And when that happens, you are in a lot of trouble. That means everyone on the planet, even the nomad up in Alaska that's chewing on whale blubber, is going to feel these effects. Not so immediately, but he will see his family slowly fading away in the years that they were supposed to have, that they don't longer have any more years to live. Because this stuff is deadly, folks. And I ain't kidding. And this president should have got out of his seat at that hockey game, got in his jet, and took off, and brought every world government together, and every power fighting a war, fighting, killing human beings by guns or any other means that they have at their disposal, should have put down their guns, put down their weapons, put down their hate, and become compassionate. And we're still not compassionate in this town, in this state, in this land, in this world. I want the president to hear this and know that I was watching him at his hockey game, and I was almost in tears because he stayed there after this news, just like Pet Goat. Y'all know who Pet Goat is, don't you? Well, it's happening all over again, folks. Except this time it's called Pet Fukushima. Okay? And he did nothing. And he's doing nothing and has done nothing for 3 weeks. Thank you for letting me tell you all this.
I disagree with you, Dave. He has doing something. He came right out and said, we're going to build those 14 plants that I already funded. And in fact, he didn't tell you, though, that two of those plants are going to be built by the Japanese company that has plants exploding in Japan. And they have the contract to build two more plants on the Gulf Coast of Texas. And nothing has changed Obama's mind now, which to me means he's a maximum tool of the international corporate obliterati. Okay. So take that, Dave.
Well, I tell you,
now,
you know,
let's not argue about that.
Cancer is, you know, serious. Cancer is a serious thing. It's been in the medical profession since I think it was born. Trying to cure cancer is very, very tough. You can ask any person in the medical field, and they will tell you that cancer is very hard to cure, period.
I was going to tell you that Helen Caldicott, who single-handedly, the Australian oncologist, who all her life has been treating kids with cancer and watching them die left and right, she's now in New York. I don't know if she's still working, but she is the person who came up 20 years ago with the statement that nuclear power is like cutting butter, using a chainsaw to cut butter. And she was on recently reminding us of how bad, Dave just said, how bad cancer really is. And she watches kids die of that every single day. And she single-handedly, by telling her story of the horrors of cancer in the kids she was treating in Australia, she stopped the French above water nuclear testing. One woman stopped the French, had them roll up their carpet bags or whatever and take
Thank
their ships
God.
And get the hell out. Yeah. So that she's a great woman, great hero.
Yeah, any above-ground nuclear explosions have been pretty much canceled at this point. If there is any government blowing one off right now, well, you know, they have no idea what they're doing, and I think all nuclear power should just be shut down, and it should be gotten rid of. Air and the last sputter of coal, and that's about all we need.
The latest information we have from TEPCO, the guys who own those six exploding plants, is that they figure it'll take 2 months for them to shut the fires down, and nobody knows how that can possibly be determined at this point. So we know they're just blowing smoke. They're just blowing radiation at us, and it's a rerun of the corporate control of the Gulf tragedy, where they got to say anything they wanted to say, and Obama and his people just seconded the motion. In fact, they helped Tony Hayward lie to us about the amount of emission of the oil from the bottom of the Gulf. They've been undercounting that forever, and they're still doing it actually. And they were creating a record of a low count so that they could later on fight their lawsuits on that basis.
And there'll be more radioactive lawsuits to fight tomorrow. And all you people out there that are listening, you can redeem your own radioactive coupons. Just go outside tomorrow and breathe in a couple of air breaths, you know, roll up a big fat one, you know, see if you can feel that little plutonium atom entering your lung. And, you know, hey, you know.
Dave, there is a way to tell when your plutonium's coming. You will have a metallic taste in your mouth. Your body detects plutonium as though it were iron. That's the sad part about it. The body doesn't know what to do with plutonium because we evolved without plutonium anywhere near us. And because the body has chosen to treat plutonium as iron, it shoots it right where we normally would shoot iron, right into our balls and into our bone marrow to cause all kinds of stuff.
And a woman's ovaries to boot. So there you go, women. Get some plutonium in your ovaries now.
Plutonium has a half-life of 6 of 20.
Us men out here will be looking to get some in our scrotums. Okay? Really quick now.
All right. I'd like to...
If you take a pound of plutonium and you could put a little tiny piece in every person's lung on Earth, 1 pound would be enough to kill every person on Earth with lung cancer. You can't do that, but if you could. Plutonium has a half-life of 24,400 years, so it's biologically dangerous for 500,000 years. If I die of a lung cancer induced by plutonium and I'm cremated, the smoke goes out the chimney to be breathed conceivably into somebody else's lung ad infinitum. The body thinks plutonium is iron. It combines with the iron transporting protein in the blood. It's deposited in the iron storage cells in the liver, where it causes liver cancer. On the endosteal, or the surface of the bone, where it causes bone cancer and leukemia. It crosses the placenta into the developing embryo, where, like thalidomide, the drug pregnant women took years ago to alleviate morning sickness, it can cause gross deformities, but it can do it forever. We had a bumper sticker in Australia which said plutonium is thalidomide forever. On to fetus after fetus. And it concentrates in the testicles and the ovaries. And everyone in the Northern Hemisphere has a very small load of plutonium already in their testicles and ovaries from fallout. And as it is so mutagenic, we don't know what that means for future generations. The arrogance to say even to our children when we're dead, sorry buddies, we needed this to turn on our lights and work our electric toothbrushes and our hair dryers. You look after it now. I mean, that's just our children, but what about our 100 generations from now? Who are we to do this to them? You know, the National Council of Churches predict epidemics of leukemia and cancer in young people as a result of just the plutonium, let alone the other elements. The geneticists say we don't have to worry about watching for genetic implications over generations. Well, I'll be dead of cancer and leukemia before then. That's what the geneticists say, some of them, because plutonium is so toxic.
How can we do this to our descendants? You know, if we believe in a God, we surely have a responsibility before God to future generations. Who are these arrogant people who are doing this?
And that was Helen.
If you take a pound of plutonium
in 2009, an Australian physician and author. She has a show here on Freak Radio on Fridays. Okay, guys. Yeah, she has a show every Friday here. I mean, we upload, we download her show. It's on.
Okay, well, until you can find that text I was supposed to read, Miss Reef,
yeah.
I would just like to do what our friend said I did very well once about a month ago, and that to give you an idea how we got started with this nuke shit anyway. And if you read the book, We Almost Lost Detroit, you don't have to believe a word I'm saying. Just go to the library and pick up the book, We Almost Lost Detroit. And it was about an Enrico Fermi power plant that was that started to blow up just before I moved out of the state to California. I didn't know anything about it. But they give you the complete backdrop of why we got into nuclear power in the first place. And a very significant name is Henry J. Kaiser, steel magnate of California. All these corporate guys, they have real good buddies in the services. You know, they sell them a lot of steel. They give them jobs when they get out of the military. It's just a regular circle jerk is what it is. It has been forever. And Henry J. Kaiser told his buddies in the military, a couple of generals, that if they built nuclear power or try to generate electricity or let us start doing that, they would have enough waste, nuclear waste, that they could reprocess and make into nuclear weapons. It would be a cheap way to get plutonium for their weapons. Now, plutonium was just a waste product from the fission of uranium, uranium-U-235. So they were all excited about that. It turns out that it was a very inefficient way to do it. They had to build special nuclear plants just to generate the plutonium so they could get enough for their bombs. But that's the way it started. We were in the midst of a Cold War, and I guess the phrase is, all of the mess we're in right now is an artifact of the Cold War and continues on long after the Cold War has died. The way things do when people make money off of something, they don't want to stop making money off of it. Now, Henry Kaiser sold billions of dollars worth of reinforcing steel for the concrete. And I guess, as we know, the mafia has, at least on the East Coast, was in solid control of the concrete business. All of those skyscrapers you see in New York were built with mafia-controlled contractors doing the pouring of the concrete. Now, they're just regular businessmen. As we were told in The Godfather, Michael Corleone said to Kate, in 5 years, we're going to go legit. Well, they did. And it's no secret. Everybody knows that you have to kowtow to the mafia. But they're just regular businessmen now, making a profit, making offers that you can't refuse, and that sort of thing. But things do get done. It's one thing you must say about the mafia. They get things done. Whether they're legal or illegal, they are a different factor in this society. So Henry Kaiser's selling all the billions of dollars worth of reinforcing steel, and just because we had to build nuclear power plants that had containment buildings that had 10-foot thick reinforced concrete walls. And so that's the start of the nuclear power thing. And because the original, it's like the big lie, we were looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but after we didn't find any, we still went on with the wars. And that's after we didn't find any cheap nuclear weapons materials in nuclear power plants. We still went out with the nuclear power plants. And we had Eisenhower at the time talking about using atom bombs to blast grooves into mountains so we could flatten out our highways over the mountains, and we were going to have electricity too cheap to meter. You wouldn't have to ever pay an electric bill again in your life. That's the way they sold it to us. And they said one problem did remain. We don't know what to do with the waste. And since the waste is going to last 500,000 years, we'll have to invent a new religion, put monks in robes to guard areas where we do.
Or monkeys.
Well, monkeys would be good, too. But I don't. Do they have a lifespan bigger than...
Well, 100th monkey.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we're supposed to establish new religion to guard the piles of nuclear waste that would definitely result.
Or wash a coke.
And when you read We Almost Lost It, right, you'll find out that the plants were always were under-designed because they wanted to make the construction of these plants more profitable. They were going to skinny up on things. And in fact, the way they sold the plants that exploded in Japan...
Mox plant.
It's called it's a design called GE Mark I. And they're exploding now. It's the same design like the Vermont Yankee plant and 23 other plants in this country. Exactly the same. And they were sold on the basis of being cheaper because they have lighter containment systems.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, that's exactly how they were sold, because no one ever expected any kind of a meltdown. I mean, we don't need... And when they design the shells, the nuclear shields, the spheres around the core, they felt that using ordinary construction principles that would be what would... they were, so that the plants would stand up to, say, an expected hurricane. New York has hurricanes. And hurricanes have been known to shoot telephone poles like on a horizontal plane, like a torpedo. And when it hits something, it's really devastating. Well, that would have been too... they would have to make the containment building twice as thick to withstand a telephone pole flying into it on a horizontal plane. So they said, well, let's just use a 8-inch by 24-inch beam. 20 feet long, which is like about 1/10 the strength of a telephone pole coming at you at 220 miles an hour. So that's one thing. They designed it wrong. And then the structural engineers, of which I am one, decided to ignore the fact that nuclear radiation makes steel corrode many times faster than normal and changes the character of the high-strength steel, which is used to carry high-pressure water and steam, into a more glassy thing, a much more fragile, breakable kind of steel. And that's what's been going on, and no consideration of these two facts was ever made in determining what the lifespan or design life of a plant would be. And originally they started designing plants for 25 years, now they're up to 40 years, and the Vermont Yankee plant is 39 years old. It's leaking tritium into the substrata below the foundations. And the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, just said it's okay to extend their license for another 15 years. It's a leaking plant about to explode, just like the ones in Japan, as far as I'm concerned, because the piping systems are extremely weak compared to the way they were designed to be. And but what happened was the Vermont legislature, Republican as hell, decided that they had a duty to protect Vermont because they found that the... guys who just bought the plant and were shooting for a 15-year extension of the license, they had lied about the tritium. They said, no, we don't even have pipes under our plant to leak. Well, they were proven to be liars, to put it mildly. And on that basis, the Vermont plant said, well, they lied about that. What the hell else will they be lying about? So we're going to pass a law that says they cannot get their license. And guess what? The Nuclear Regulatory Commission said, well, okay, if that's where you're going to be, you don't have to grant the license. Even though they were for it. Now, I'm kind of talked out right now. Anybody else have something?
In Vermont, you know, they use a lot of syrup. So maybe they thought if they put some syrup on it, it would be okay.
They haven't tried that yet. You're right.
You know, they thought that concrete and newspaper would stuff up the crack in Fukushima.
Oh, that's right.
But it did not. So then they said, well, we should just open it up to the ocean and let it flow out.
Yes, exactly.
And that is what is going on right now, people, is in the Pacific Ocean right now is a bunch of radioactive waste. And thank you, all you fishermen out there that have got $100,000 million yachts. You can go out there and catch your own nuclear fish now. Don't worry about it. Next year, 100 years, 1,000 years, you'll be able to catch nuclear fish. And if you don't like those, go down to the Gulf. You can catch some oil fish down there. I'm telling you, they're
everywhere. David, why don't you tell us how you really feel? I told the Board of Supervisors this morning, I just remembered, that at the time we were speaking, there was a meeting in Oakland or San Francisco of the Sushi Makers Society as to how much radiation they thought sushi eaters would accept. And then after that was announced on NPR, they asked a couple, people on the street what they thought about having a radiation sushi. And one very erudite, very calm, educated woman said, well, that fish would have to swim an awful long way to come from Japan and into my sushi.
That, I love sushi like you love sushi. We all love sushi. It's radioactivity. Yes. Well, sushi. Mm-mm, sushi. Pink Godzilla, we love your sushi.
I had to get technical on you guys, but, you know, the water that they just dumped out of Fuck You Schmuck plant up there.
Fuck You Schmuck.
That's right. That's a closer pronunciation to what Mother Nature is telling us something. Anyway, there's a... You just Google Japan Current, and you'll find out that the water that's wiping right alongside the Circle of Fire, where the tsunami and the earthquake happened, goes right up past that area, into the Aleutians, down into Alaska waters, and down the west coast of Canada, and down into Washington, and all across. And it kind of breaks away from the coast of California at San Diego. That's why the water gets much colder just south of there. 69 degrees doesn't ever get warmer
than that.
Radiation
doesn't care about
it. Radiation might warm things up, too. But the point is, in a few days, we get all that radiation right here on our west coast. It doesn't matter how far away we are. We got currents in the ocean, and we got the jet stream bringing all that stuff
over
the top.
Gosh, I'm glad we don't drink ocean water.
And we've known for 20 years that the pollution over California contains... And 20% of our pollution over California comes from China. How do you think it got here? It didn't off-gas off of their products. Well, that, I mean, that's true. I don't know.
Well, they said in 2 months we can expect to get some Fukushima pollutants here. You know, buildings, toilets, cell phones, all kinds of stuff that came floating away from Fukushima. And we're going to get it on the coast here. So, y'all, all you spelunkers, get on out there. Watch out for that radiation. Oh, it's in those waves. Oh, shit, oh, damn.
Some professor up in Washington State says he's picking up toys, dolls.
Plastic duck?
Japanese-style toys are already here on the west coast of Washington, and that's got to be on the internet by now.
Oh, that's wonderful. We can go out and get our own toys. Don't bring any toys with you to the beach, folks. They're out there in the waves and waiting on the beach for you when you get there, okay? They'll be Japanese-marked. They don't cost anything. It's just like a free coupon.
And they'll glow in the dark.
And they will help you maybe flibber around at the beach until you can squander up a... Oh, I don't know, maybe a plastic water bottle to turn into a bong. You know, maybe you'll have a radioactive pipe dream or something, you know?
All right. My name, it is Sam Hall. It is Sam Hall. Okay, what? Oh, that's the folk song segment. My name, it is Sam Hall. It is Sam Hall. My name, it is Sam Hall, and I hate you one and all. I hate you one and all. God damn your eyes. Where the hell did that come from? I guess I'm hating some corporations that seem to want to obliterate the human race.
Music break. Music break.
Thank you, 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 and peace. Hey, love. Hey, teach it in school. It's a really good thing to learn. All you teachers out there and professors, why don't you teach me love and peace when I was in, you know, when I was in elementary school and high school and all those places that I went that I didn't even know my fucking tag!
That's how it starts. The need to know won't enter into it. Once you're in, you can't get out of it. It could be fatal, call it dangerous. That's how it goes. A wary eye glancing left and right. A cutout's gonna miss the drop tonight. Don't drag the river. looks. Your fingers titch as you take your aim. Three different passports in different lanes. Don't miss your train. That's how it plays. Just a messy little shadow war. A missing person, nothing more. Too many questions makes you dangerous.
Thank you.
Or you could increase the size of the text for me.
No, sure.
Yeah, she can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Tab. Say what you're about to read.
Well, I want to get in there and get a little closer to the screen so we can.
Radio 101 FM.
It says, "Dear Kathleen," this is a preface to this thing. "This piece was just published today, and now it's off the screen." It has a very short half-life. It disappeared in 20 hours. Okay, I got to sit closer. You can't take the view and exchange, and make the, yeah, you can do that. Hey, look at that. Exciting. Okay, technology is wonderful unless it starts killing you.
And
yes. Okay. "Dear Kathleen, this piece was just published today. It is comprehensive to say the least." I guess I wrote that. Oh, that was for Kit. That was for my singing buddy. Okay, I'm going to skip my own preface and go right down to this piece of wonderful information that was just published yesterday. And it's called "Waking Up to a Nuclear Nightmare." Monday, 4th of April, 2011, by Barbara Rose Johnson from Truth Out, one of my favorite sites. I only have two or three favorite sites. I don't have time at my age to read more than two or three. "Bravo test over Eniwetok Marshall Islands, Operation Castle, March 1, 1954. Designed specifically to generate the largest possible cloud of fallout. The Bravo test was the first detonation of a hydrogen bomb dropped from an airplane." Click for complete caption. Okay, I'll skip that. "Atomic Energy Commission, Department of Energy." Now, I might add that not too many people know that our nuclear weapons are not made by the Pentagon or by any weapons manufacturer. We have our Department of Energy, this socialist department, making our actual warheads for us. It's a totally socialist enterprise. I don't know why the right-wingers haven't just exploded that thing, but they live with it. A shorter version of this article appeared in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists on March 18th of 2011. "As Japan's nuclear disaster continues to unfold, a growing number of its citizens and residents are beginning their transition, becoming the newest members of the world's radiogenic community. Like the Hibakusha, downwinders, uranium miners, atomic vets, and many who live in towns and cities that hosted the nuclear enterprise, they find their lives profoundly altered by a hazardous, invisible threat where the fear of nuclear contamination and the personal health and intergenerational effects from exposure colors all aspects of social, cultural, economic, and psychological well-being. Some radiogenic communities are the end result of a geographic location. Living downwind from or adjacent to uranium mines and mills, nuclear power plants and waste dumps, nuclear weapons tests, battlefields, or military training grounds. Others are formed by occupational exposure as a soldier, scientist, miner, plant operator, or other worker. I must interject here that you'll never get a medical doctor to work for a nuclear power plant because they would have been part of their duties would be to lie to the workers about the actual state of their health. This is also in that book, We Almost Lost Detroit. Okay, others are formed by occupational exposure. I got that. And such lives are characterized by degenerative health conditions resulting from their exposure, pain and suffering associated with miscarriages and the birth of congenitally deformed children. The difficulties of raising physically disabled children and caring for increasingly feeble elderly, the fear of and anxiety over additional exposures, the fear of and anxiety over intergenerational and other unknown effects of radiation, and the psychosocial humiliation, marginalization, and stigmatization that is common to nuclear victimized communities. Life in a nuclear nightmare often revolves around a series of stressful and difficult questions. Radiation is invisible, so how do you know when you are in danger? Well, I know that answer. The government will tell you. How long will this danger persist? How can you reduce the hazard to yourself and your family? What level of exposure is safe? How do you get access to vital information in time to prevent or minimize exposure? What are the potential risks of acute and chronic exposures? What are the related consequential damages of exposure? Whose information do you trust? How do you rebuild a healthy way of life in the aftermath of nuclear disaster? Finding answer to such questions is hugely... Huge. I did the wrong thing. Did I press the wrong button? I'm supposed to go down with it. All right. I'm going to have to reboot here for a second. I pressed the down button and went up. Okay, life in a nuclear nightmare often revolves around a series of stressful and difficult questions. Radiation is invisible, so how do you know when you are in danger? How long will this danger persist? How can you reduce the hazard to yourself and your family? Those questions really bore repeating. What level of exposure is safe? How do you get access to vital information in time to prevent or minimize exposure? What are the potential risks of acute and chronic exposures? What are the related consequential damages of exposure? Whose information do you trust? How do you rebuild a healthy way of life? Well, of course, all those questions existed weeks ago, and we're still waiting for the answers from Obama and his troops who support, without question, nuclear power. Finding answers to such questions is hugely difficult in the chaos and context of an ongoing disaster. It is all the more difficult when government and industry maintain control over information, operations, and the scientific exploration of nuclear disasters. We've got a lot of those already just studied, but we don't seem to be getting the answers. The Three Mile Island thing, I didn't even know, actually melted down until a few months ago, until they were saying that Three Mile Island was the worst thing that ever happened in nuclear power since until Chernobyl happened. We have, for example, the ability to forecast and display meteorological conditions. Yet, other than ultraviolet radiation, UV predictions, there is no public access to forecasts for radioactive atmospheric conditions. Radiologic atmospheric data is collected by the United Nations Preparatory Commission for the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, CTBTO, a Vienna-based body that monitors radionuclide, seismic, hydroacoustic, and infrasound evidence across the globe as a means to implement the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. For decades now, findings have been reported to member nations and have played a role in the development of an early warning tsunami system. Why is there no early warning system for radioactive deposition? Why, as fallout hits the West Coast, is public knowledge on local radiological conditions limited to Geiger counter reporting of independent citizens? Get your Geiger counters, folks. You're right, Dave. That's what's necessary. And Coral, too. You told me that. I'm going to buy mine tomorrow. And as the world once again receives a crash course on nuclear reactors, spent fuel rods, meltdown, and fallout, why is there no clear consensus on what this means with regard to local and global human health? Information on radiation health effects, while increasingly accessible, largely reflects the flaws and biases embedded in a classified Cold War era research that served government and industry interests. Findings that contradicted the official narrative were typically censored, and scientists suffered reprisal and blacklisting. Anthropologist Earl Reynolds, for example, whose Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission research demonstrated that Japanese children exposed to the radioisotopes in fallout were smaller than their counterparts, with lowered resistance to disease and a greater susceptibility to cancer, especially leukemia, found his 1953 report censored, as it represented the evidence that supported a global ban on nuclear weapons tests. Reviewing this and other history, the 1994 Advisory Commission on Human Radiation Experiments in the United States concluded that the radiation health literature of the Cold War years was a heavily sanitized and scripted version meant to reassure and pacify public protests while achieving military and economic agendas. At the cheapest possible price, I might add. Decades of such control reinforced again and again the source message, or the core message. Humans have evolved in a world where radiation from the sun and naturally occurring elements was present, and the radiation at some level is natural and beneficial. That's horseshit. Any adverse health effect of radiation exposure is the occasional and accidental result of high levels of exposure. Any resulting adverse health effect from radiation exposure is limited to the individual, not his or her offspring. That's horseshit. Nuclear power operations are safe, and their periodic low-level releases represent no threat to human health. This narrative, in one form or another, has been present in government and industry press releases and media reports in these past weeks. I happen to know that there's a repository of true information available at the one place in the world or in the country where we actually store all this information. It happens to be in Walnut Creek, California. You can go up there and find out about all the people who died that weren't supposed to have died in nuclear accidents. There are a lot of them are in that book, We Almost Lost Detroit. You wouldn't believe what happened. They were burying people without their heads and hands because the heads and hands were nuclear waste. They couldn't give those to the families. They gave them the bodies. Example, in the initial hours after the earthquake and tsunami, the Japanese government and Tokyo Electrical Power Company issued statements reporting minor damage at the nuclear power plant. In the days that followed, government and industry officials reported the venting of hydrogen gas, but claimed that there was no threat to health. This reassurance of health safety was echoed when hydrogen gas explosions occurred at the power plant. In fact, the hydrogen released is tritiated water vapor, a low-level emitter absorbed through the skin by breathing and by drinking contaminated water. Tritium decays by beta emission and has a radioactive half-life of about 12.3 years. As it undergoes radioactive decay, tritium emits a very low-energy beta particle, transforms to stable non-radioactive helium. I have to add here that the cladding of the fuel rods is a zirconium, which was discovered by President-to-be Jimmy Carter, who was very involved in invention of all these beautiful things. And he discovered that zirconium could withstand the temperatures of a nuclear reactor and keep the fuel rod from disintegrating. But what that does, it acts as a catalyst which creates hydrogen. It splits the water apart into hydrogen and oxygen. And hopefully they won't ever meet again. But when they do, there's a big explosion, a hydrogen explosion. Okay, once tritium enters the body, it disperses quickly, is uniformly distributed, and is excreted through the urine within a month or so after ingestion. It produces a low-level exposure and may result in toxic effects to the kidney. As with all ionizing radiation, exposure to tritium increases the risk of developing cancer. Did you hear that, folks? All ionizing radiation. We're lucky that the iodine that gives us cancer of the thyroid only supposedly has a half-life of 8 or 10 days. But 100 years from now, one of those little atoms from that ionizing iodine could be around, and if it hits the right place on a human or any kind of a animal body, it can still do the job hundreds of years from now. Give that thing cancer. Why no mention of tritium in the government or industry statements? Relatively speaking, the health effects of a low-level emitter like tritium are minor when compared to the other radiogenic and toxic hazards in this nuclear catastrophe. Such omission is a standard industry practice designed to reassure the public that the normal operating procedures of a nuclear power plant represent no significant threat to human health. I must say, I had a private conversation. Daniel Ellsberg, for one whole year, was available to us because he was scholar in residence at UCSC. And when his kid was, must be 10, 12 years ago, I remember his son running around. His son was 11 years old at the time. He says, "Tony, my first job before I wrote up found the Pentagon Papers was to go to power plants to find out how power plants were handling the many accidents that they had." They had lots of accidents. People don't know about it because they had a sheaf of steadily changing form letters. The first form letter said, "We had an incident at the plant today. We've taken care of it. No problems. We're back in operation." Second, it didn't matter what kind of thing they had. They always put out this letter first. And then if the thing went on, they said, "Well, we have to close down for maintenance, and we'll be back online in a short time." I mean, I'm making these things up, but the announcements were steadily worse and worse and worse. It didn't matter how bad the accident was in the first place. You got all this raft of information to keep the lid on and keep the panic down. And the only reason you have panic, people are actually reacting to good information when they panic. I mean, they have a reason to be worried, and they'd be smart to like move out of town or something like that. But because the panic is is interrupted or muted or prevented by the government, the actual life-saving moves that we could make are not allowed to happen. There are other sources of conclusive data that allow a very different interpretation of the health hazards posed by this nuclear disaster. Cold War classification and the incestuous nature of government, military, and industrial agendas made it difficult to challenge the assumptions that underlie this difficult. Shit, people lose their jobs when they tell the truth. There is no guy who's told the truth that hasn't been punished for it. For example, the assumption that radiogenic health effects must be demonstrated through direct causality. One isotope, one outcome, meant science on cumulative and synergistic effects was not pursued. Discounting or ignoring the toxic nature of varied radioisotopes meant health risks were assessed and regulations promulgated on the basis of acute exposures and outcomes, radiation poisoning and deadly cancer. The declassification of the United States Human Radiation Experiment records in the mid-1990s, release of similar USSR records in the years following the breakup of the Soviet Union, reassessment of Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission records, and now research conducted by Japanese scientists, translation and publication of long-term research on Chernobyl workers and other survivors, and the effects to understand and repair the damages from nuclear weapons testing. Related fallout in the Marshall Islands all generate a body of knowledge that stands in sharp contradiction to the assumptions that sustain trust in nuclear power and the ability to prevent, manage, contain, control, or remediate any disaster. In other words, they know it's impossible to do all this stuff, but we're still poisoning ourselves. From this record of studied and lived experience, what do we know? We know fallout and the movement of radionuclides through marine and terrestrial environments makes its way into the food chain and the human body. We know that bioaccumulation of radioisotopes amplifies the relatively small trace amounts in the environment, and when ingested, generates larger exposures and significant adverse health outcomes. We know that ingestion of even the smallest particle of a long-lived isotope can result in degenerative health and deadly cancers. We know that acute... I have to dwell on this a little bit, because I told this to the supervisors today. About 35 years ago, a man who's a late scientist at the Livermore Radiation Lab tried his damnedest to find the smallest dose that we could tolerate, or any living thing could tolerate. And even one atom of the radionuclides he was working with, probably plutonium, but maybe not, maybe cesium, would kill off the small living things that he was working with. So there is absolutely no, and I kept, that was the last thing I told him, there's no such thing as a safe dose of radiation. Even those stuffs, that even the cosmic rays and the sun and all the things that they're using as excuses for accepting other kinds of radiation, they're not good for you either. Cosmic rays shorten the lives of airline pilots. We get a lot of cosmic rays. Sometimes when we get sunspots, people get hit with enough to cause cancer. And hit with enough cosmic rays. And we have places on Earth that are really hot spots, and things that go through there, they're not helped. That radiation is definitely not helpful. It shortens their lives. Maybe my life. I don't know. As such, assaults have a cumulative and synergistic effect. It's not just cumulative. They work in strange ways with other toxins that we have, which reduce our... this is me talking, I guess. Reduce our ability to fight off diseases. We know that chronic exposure to low-level radiation does more than increase the risk of developing cancers. Such exposure threatens the immune system, results in changes in fertility, increased rates of birth defect, increased rates of cancers, physical and mental retardation, metabolic disorders, and premature aging. We know that the toxicity of contaminants and fallout, as well as the radioactivity, represent significant public health risks. And we know that the effects of such exposures extend across generations. You consider, for example, Alexei D. Yablokov, Vasily B. Nesterenko, and Alexei V. Nesterenko's 2009 summation of Chernobyl experiences published by the New York Academy of Sciences. Health effects not only include widespread occurrence of thyroid disease and cancers. For every case of Chernobyl-induced thyroid cancer, there is about 1,000 other cases of thyroid gland pathology, resulting in the multiple endocrine illness of millions of people.
Post-Chernobyl studies confirm increased morbidity, impairment, and disability. Oncological disease, that's cancer, folks. Accelerated aging. Oh, we love that. And increased non-malignant. I never heard about that. Non-malignant disease. In other words, tumors that aren't necessary cancers, but they're definitely harmful, and they look ugly when they pop out of your neck or out of your nose. Blood, lymph, cardiovascular, metabolic, endocrine, immune, respirator, urogenital, bone and muscle nervous systems, ocular, that's your eyes, digestive and skin. These health effects are not simply limited to the generation of people exposed to fallout. Given the long-lived nature of radioisotopes and mutagenic change resulting from exposure, the intergenerational impacts from Chernobyl are profound. And they meet every year to count up these disasters, these personal disasters that they have in their families. I heard a crying Russian the other day say, they told us that it would be safe. We would only be in there 90 seconds dumping buckets of cement on the hot melting core. And he found out that it destroyed his health and the health of his family and kids.
Let's take a break and come back.
Plutonium Tony, hey!
Thank you. geçtim zelelelelelelelelele misli divane geçtim zelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelel
Freak Radio 101 FM. Hello, Santa Cruz. Hello, everybody. Here's Tony Plutonium.
There are, thank you, David, there are many lessons to be learned, both from the human health outcomes of exposure and from the wide array of strategies that people are developing as they come to understand and adjust to the environmental hazards and health risks associated with life in a radiogenic community. That's a nice ring to it, doesn't it? We are in a radiogenic community. Yeah, thanks to TEPCO and the nuclear power industry, who I like to call junk scientists. Junk scientists all. Members of the obliterati. Okay. There are proactive strategies that can be taken to reduce risk, to grow healthy and safe food, to enhance individual, family, and community health, as illustrated in the Republic of the Marshall Islands Nuclear Claims Tribunals, parenthesis, a United States-funded and initiated tribunal, end parenthesis, awards to repair and compensate Bikini, Eniwetok, Utrecht, and Rongelap Atoll communities. Years of research and testimony on fallout damages and varied ways in which such damages might be repaired led to RMI Nuclear Claims Tribunal awards meant to decontaminate, I guess they mean contracts, meant to decontaminate soils, reduce the presence of radioisotopes in the food chain, educate and train a new generation of Marshallese radiation health experts, provide holistic health care and other measures that seek to rebuild a sustainable and healthy way of life. Are we listening, folks? This is what we're in for. We're going to have to repeat this experience of the Bikini Atoll survivors.
The 100th monkey.
Yes. Such actions, however, have not materialized as the United States government under the Bush administration rejected the Nuclear Claims Tribunal findings. In 2010, the Supreme Court rejected the right of the Marshallese to plead their case, and the Congress has yet to take action on a request to fully fund the tribunal and thus address the ulcerating injuries incurred by this former U.S. territory. I guess we could expect to be treated exactly the same way, with total
disrespect.
Disrespect, and I think Mother Nature had it right. Fuck you, schmuck.
Fuck you, schmuck.
That's the way they're going to treat us. The ideal of governance as embodied in the world's constitutions is that the state serves as the institutional mechanism that secures the fundamental rights of its citizens to life and livelihood. Japan's nuclear disaster, like other catastrophic events, Katrina, Chernobyl, illustrates how far we have moved from that ideal. Every stage in the evolution of this nuclear nightmare has involved struggles to control the content and flow of information to preempt society-wide panic and the related loss of trust in government, to reduce liability, and to protect nuclear and other industry agendas. Such decisions have profound public health consequences. There are many lessons to be learned here, but not the least of which is how to respond, adjust, and adapt to the environmental hazards and health risks associated with life in this unclear world. As the world's nations reassess unclear power and operations and refine their energy development plans, now more than ever, we need to utilize all the data to inform our decisions, especially the experiences of the world's radiogenic communities, which now I believe includes us. Okay, it says full caption. This is pretty much the end of it, but I guess I can just hit the highlights here. They were designed specifically to create a large cloud of fallout. It sounds like a repeat of the first part of it.
Fukushima.
So, I think this is about the end of it.
Okay.
They're repeating the first part of it. Okay. Well, this is a lot of information, all of which I think is going to be denied by our government.
Fukushima.
Whom we seem to be still trusting to give us the full skinny. But since it's going to interfere with the profits of the nuclear, I'm starting to call it the unclear industry. We just don't have
information.
Yes, sir. Trust your monkey. He's over there out of the corner. Right, there you go. He's a lot more trustworthy than our government, I'm afraid. And when you get that metallic taste in your mouth, that's plutonium, folks.
This is Freak Radio 101 FM, Santa Cruz, California, Boardwalk Town, still a little bit liberal, we're still battling some of the people down there. The city supervisors Tony mentioned were where he told them that plutonium is a giving gift that keeps on giving. Yes, and they all believed him, but they didn't have any replies for him. He just told the supervisors how he felt and that they should get ready for this gift that's coming from Fukushima across the Pacific Ocean.
Fuck you, schmuck.
Yes, that's it.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org.
So long it's been good, junk science. Plutonium used to be bad for your health. But why should you fear what you can't be felt or even smelled? So we prioritized your health below wealth. And your taxes are now used to kill you with stealth.
So
long, it's been good to know ya. So long, there's no net below ya. So long, we got Ayatollah Obama to issue this fatwa song. And we gotta be grifting along. So, yes, can we bring up the...
Facebook people.
It just goes in. It don't wash out. The nuclear man in our hourglass lives. The nuclear man in the hourglass is thinking of threats. Have you checked the water you can drink from any lakes yet? His phone is still ringing, and now he is pretending. It's not really a nuclear threat.
like tiny pieces of glass falling down from the clouds, and it won't even make a really big sound mixed in with the rain that's all falling down. Now, some will run, and some will hide, and some come out of it slightly fried and burned all over from the inside with some vomit and juices as they also spew out and come from within and then out of one's mouth. Try not to get any onto your skin, 'cause it don't wash out. It just goes in and very hard to get out. And here's another poem from myself. Let me go back. A radical memorial, this radioactive editorial. It melted like an Oreo and then shot through the sky. Some's landing on Borneo. Some's getting to you. Nothing better to do. I hope it don't bother you. Well, it turns out that fools, well, we trusted them too. It's measured in joules. If it breaks, it's near impossible to fix with any known tools. Don't know what to do. In Japan, it's true. Wonder what's gonna happen. The Geiger horn sounded, radiation compounded, and some things it spews becomes part of you. Here comes another one. It's called A Criminal Crime. The nuclear radio man points his sky riders to impact revisions, a tragic rendition, massive transitions, a congested prediction, hiding in politicians. Fukushima nuclear radiological transmissions, sent to send an unseen threat. A deadly death. His phone is still ringing. Now he is pretending to drop down a charge to fall from the sky. Some will run and some will hide. And I've told you before, they come out slightly fried and burned all over from the inside. A criminal crime.
Oh, Dave, my phone's ringing and I'm afraid to answer the goddamn thing. Man, I'm reminded that when I was just about to talk to the Board of Supervisors, a guy came up with a very nice issue. He said he gave them hell for closing down the Vets Memorial because lots of people have lost their livelihoods or at least their relationships to other people when they close that thing down. So that's a big issue. And there's lots of issues that were discussed before I even got into the room. But all of those issues will be moot if the worst case scenario happens. And I'm praying it does not. I am not advocating for plutonium fallout in this state. But, okay. And I'm not advocating for anything bad to happen. I've got grandchildren living where the first fallout hit in San Diego a couple weeks ago. But I just want to say, look around you right now. Whether this threat is the final end times of humanity or just a kind of a test case, a test run to teach us what our government refuses to teach us, just look around you and you'll see exactly how the end times will come. Nobody is going to be warned on time. You can count on that. There's no profit to be made from warning people away from stuff that people make profit from. It's just not in our governmental genes, so to speak. And it's our genes that are our real genes that are at stake. And I'm saddened when I saw all this. These people just kind of go blank-eyed when I told them that, you know, think that we're going to be bathed in radiation.
Boy, nuclear radiation sure does make gas go up, doesn't it?
That's right.
Dave, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, makes gas go up. Nuclear radiation definitely makes gas go up. I'm sorry, everybody, that the plant exploded in Fukushima. We're feeling it at the pumps, and Obama's just sitting in his White House wondering what he can do next to not help us out here in America. And he's definitely not helping our ally out over there in Japan. It's been 3 weeks, and he's still eating breakfast and Spam.
Oh, my God. I that's very good. I'm almost speechless because Dave is catching some vibes that I kind of missed. I mean, this thing is really a very personal thing. And it's got to happen the way he says. I mean, we're going to start falling apart from the inside. That's what radiation does to you. And like I say, if this is a false alarm, thank God, and we'll go on to the next one. We better start getting smart and realize that someone has to panic. Panic is actually a result of the formation of what we call the amygdala. While we were evolving, we had a little almond-shaped thing pop into the top part of our primitive brain, which says, hey, something's happening, react. And yet governments are trying to avert panic when panic is probably what we need right now. We need to panic enough to grab our politicians by the lapels and say, what the fuck is going on? You're allowing stuff to kill us, and you're not warning us until it's too late to do something about it. At least give us all Geiger counters. We don't have any single-payer health care like Canada and Britain and Finland and Sweden, Germany, France. All the other Western civilizations have health care, and as soon as somebody feels a little twinge of something, they can go to their doctor and find out whether it's the fallout or whether it's something they ate. We can't do that. We're going to have people with carbuncles on their skin going to bus our tables in our Mexican restaurants, and we're going to be eating food that we don't know what it contains because California's agribusiness is in control over here. And if it's that sounds crazy, no, that's the way it's going to be. And I'm afraid, I'm hoping this is all a false alarm, but look around you and see exactly how we're going to react and how we're going to live when it really does happen. We're going to be arguing about the Vets Memorial Building and plots of land in Santa Cruz. Well, none of that means going to mean anything anymore. We should be spending time with our kids at home, and a hard rain is going to fall, play old Bob Dylan records, and get in the mood for kind of just fading away.
Whoa, get me a home where the buffalo roam, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Where somewhere is heard an encouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Go ahead.
Well, it's been enlightening hearing how it's affected you, and I do wonder if listeners are listening and how you all feel out there. So if you would want to email me at coralreef@freakradio.org or call in right now at 427-3772, and also send any kind of love our way to P.O. Box 7811 Santa Cruz 95061 Santa Cruz, that is. If you have any kind of a donation you like to make, you know, to the radio station, and If you have anybody that you know would like to make a show here, yourself included, go to our website and see how it's done at freakradio.org. We've been talking a lot about what happened in Japan and what's happening, what we think is going to be happening right here in California.
With a bunch of stuff floating in from Japan down at the beach, y'all. We all get to go out and clean up our own beach tomorrow, but I don't know. I think you should use lead-lined gloves if you pick up any Japanese toys on the California coast, on the
Here's
sandy beaches.
Here's a Red Coast alert that's right straight from YouTube. We've been getting a few nature sounds also, because, you know, you can't forget about that. We have to live with this. We're on the planet still.
That's where we came from, all those sounds.
Yeah.
Millions of years old sounds is what we came from.
Yeah. I don't know if this means anything, but 20
Okay, this is a breaking news alert. Radiation that has been found in San Francisco, California tap water is 18,100% above drinking water limits. This test was done from Berkeley University. Despite countless assurances that no harmful levels of radiation from the Japan nuclear fallout would hit the U.S. from the EPA, the University of Berkeley in California is now reporting that rainwater in San Francisco water has now been detected at levels 18,100% above federal drinking water standards. Again, with just about all other news of the radiation hitting the U.S., the news is once again reported to the public over a week after it was first detected. Here's some links here. I'll put the link of this particular website below the more info section underneath the video. Radioactive iodine 131 in drinking water sample near San Francisco was 18,100% above federal drinking water standard. It says that it was taken off the roof of Echeverry Hall, which is one of the buildings on UC Berkeley campus, March 23rd, 2011, from 906 to 1800 PDT. The 3 liters of rainwater collected contained 134 becquerels of iodine for an average of 20.1 becquerel per liter, which equates to 543 picocuries per liter. Now, I have no idea what that means, but it sounds bad. The federal drinking water limit for iodine 131 is 3 picocuries per liter, which this sample had 543. Putting the rainwater sample at 18,100% above the federal drinking water limit. Now, I'm going to put the site to Berkeley below also. I just want to go down here real quick, see what this has to say. The University of Berkeley also detected radiation in milk bought off store shelves. Holy cow, I didn't read this. And in the drinking water taken from the tap water sample. The tap water sample contained 0.024 barcules to 0.014 per liter, which is much lower than the latest rainwater samples. Milk samples also contained radiation, which again is lower than the rainwater samples. Here's a snippet of what the University of Berkeley results log. For all you guys that understand what this means and all the information here, you can read it. I'll put it below. And here's all the charts also. I hope somebody gets a hold of this information. I've been telling people that it's a lot worse than people realize. And this may be my video, by the way. Is this my video? No, this is not my video. I've got the same video on my site. But it's a lot worse, and people have been telling me that I've been a fearmonger and I'm trying to get everybody all worked up. No, it's just that I understand that it's probably much, 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 much worse than they're telling us. And that I'm just looking for it now ahead of time so that because I live in California and I wanted to try to get out of here before this really hits, if it is as bad as I think it possibly could be. So for anybody out there that's really doing this study, I know they're going to figure this all out by the time it's too late for people to be having been exposed on the West Coast, but please, somebody figure this out and put it in layman's terms for us yokel dokels out here in California that don't understand what's
just
going down. I just know
goodbye.
It's probably a lot worse than what they're saying, so that's why I've been putting out the alert, getting those videos out there of people that are actually in Japan that are leaving. And yes, there has been, supposedly from the Forbes journalist, Benjamin Fulford, he said, and he lives in Japan, that, and he lives in Tokyo, I should say, that he estimates 5 million people have already evacuated Tokyo. Not to mention our 200,000-plus military personnel that's in Japan. So we know it's bad. How potent will it still be when it gets to the West Coast? Well, from the radiation forecast, now that we're going to need radiation forecast from now on, I guess, the radiation forecast looks as though it doesn't dissipate whatsoever by the time it gets to California coast. The initial areas surrounding the nuclear power plant do look very radiated in a certain color. But the more toxic bluish purple color does not seem to dissipate by the time it gets to the West Coast. So we're looking at high intense levels of radiation still flowing over parts of the West Coast of the United States. This is not good. Here's the video here for all you guys that want to know. I have this one on my site also, but please look. This is high concentrations right here, this real dark blue level here. And if you go on my site, you'll see this blue level just creams over the whole western part of the country. And it's the same color as it's coming out of the actual nuclear power plant. So, we will be discussing these things nightly at my website, propheticseer.com. I have a live podcast and a forum with a live chat that discusses all the issues with the news and tries to get late-breaking information out to the public before even the mainstream. So keep us bookmarked at propheticseer.com. That's propheticseer.com. God bless.
Thank you. That was on YouTube. Tony, his comment.
Yeah, a little science here, probably. I'm really feeling terrible hearing this news. I didn't think it was going to get this bad this fast. But remember, if the Earth was an apple, one way to think of how thick the atmosphere is over the apple is the atmosphere is the skin of the apple. So the idea of taking a whole shit pot full of radiation off the skin that's over the Fuck You Schmuck Japan melting reactors and having it transmit pretty much intact over the ocean is much more easily understandable when you realize how really thin our breathing layer of air, our breathable air area is, breathable thickness of air. It's very thin. We look up and we think the sky goes on forever, but it's a very thin layer of oxygen we have.
2 miles.
2 miles is what Dave says. So the fact that there's high fidelity transfer of the purple people-eating monster that's coming off the plants and having it deposit on the United States or flowing over the United States and going on to other areas as well is more easily understandable, although my mind fails to comprehend what's really happening right now. It's much worse than I ever thought possible.
Yeah, it's hard to breathe over 10,000 feet in the air. They have to use gas masks to breathe, you know, oxygen mixed with
air,
you know. Yep. It's a mile is 5,280 feet, so twice that, 10,000 feet, that's pretty much the ceiling of breathable oxygen to any air traveler. And people traveling in airplanes right now, jets and things like that, they're more subject to this radiation than people on the ground at this point until it falls from the sky and hits the ground. If you're traveling in an aircraft right now, you are receiving a big dose if you are flying over the Pacific Ocean. So all you people that are getting ready to fly over the Pacific, well, why don't you fly over the Atlantic? There's just oil in that one and not radiation. So, hey, go the other way. Take a long trip, and you get less radiated. But I figure in about 2 weeks, it's not going to matter where you fly. You're going to be flying right into it no matter where you fly. And they are getting their bunkers ready in the government right now. It's on YouTube. You can go, and the Russians are jumping on this one, on this bandwagon. They are putting out videos showing governmental facilities down under mountains with complete concert areas, break rooms, shower rooms, living areas for all of our special voted for idiots that are in office right now, that are actually the ones that did not show up at this disaster, that did nothing about this disaster, love to watch hockey. And another thing, pet goat, you know, pet hockey. Same president, different face, different DNA, but same mindset.
Ayatollah Obama.
Sieg Heil! You little schmuck.
Fuck you, schmuck.
Yeah, man, I got your number, man. You didn't read about radiation when you went to school, but I did. But I went to an alternative school, one that wasn't funded by tax money. One that was funded by a bunch of hippies that liked flowers and air and liked to breathe and eat. And make love and no war. And they taught me about your nuclear crap. And that's why I knew, Mr. Obama, that when that thing blew in Fukushima, that you were supposed to quit doing your wars and all your shit, unhumanitarian crap, and switch it over to humanitarian. This is an alert. This is a crisis, everybody.
Game for president.
You people in Japan, we love you. We hope you love us as much. We're going to die with you just like everyone else that doesn't have a bomb shelter, Mr. Obama. And all your NWO cronies can go down there.
Obama shelter.
Your little THX 1138 Obama. Yeah, check that movie out. THX 1138. Yep. It's a science fiction movie, and it's just about what we are going through right now, today. The planet is radiated. And what did they do? They moved a whole bunch of people down into the ground to live for thousands of years. Thousands of years. But their computer freaked out, and it didn't tell them that the air was breathable and there was no more radiation. So they just got bigger and bigger like a zit. And then finally it popped. And one man escaped out of all of that. And that was the end of the movie.
Go ahead, Cole. It's yours, Cole.
Man, it's been beyond comprehension. I wonder how we can size up and summarize what's gone on tonight. I think I've heard a lot of viewpoints, people that want to make some kind of sense out of it, people that need the feeling that if they just all meditate together that the effects will lessen. People that want to educate everyone that the fact that it is a crisis. People saying get as much food that you can and get all your things in order so that you'll be able to evacuate if necessary or just to be able to move. Because you don't want to be caught surprised. I think that's the main thing. Just to be able to be mobile and be able to move around and do what you need to do without feeling the threat of being corralled into one group thing that you don't want to be in. So the freedom to be in the kind of consciousness that is what's the planet and what the planet is supposed to be, and not what we've made the planet become. I want to put on something more, you know, healing and soothing. But I'm going to let these two summarize what they've done tonight. This has been the Free the Land Show. I'm Coral Reef.
Here comes Plutonium Tony and Drummer Dave.
All right, yeah. No, I'm not going to say much. I've said everything negative that I can say, and I'm almost sorry I said it, because this other guy has more information than I do, and I really don't believe it. I mean, if we've been creatively designed, how did this happen? I mean, we got to get some creative designers out there and make it go away. I mean, and also God would not let this happen. God would not let his creation go kaflooey overnight. So take comfort in that and pray a lot. And bend over and kiss your kids and pray with them too. And I'm going to pray a lot for my grandkids down in San Diego and at Yale University and at Stanford. And I hope that Carl can just find some good music to go out on, because we need something. That's the only healing thing you're going to find. This last information that we got is, 18,000 times the legal or healthy amount of radiation in drinking water or rainwater in San Francisco. Means that we have something similar down here. And as Paul Gunther said, there is no place to go. Just based on what he knew about Japan, he knew that the poisons in the air above Japan would go all over throughout our atmosphere, as we did find out in the times of the above-ground nuclear radiation testing. One of the things, other than Linus Pauling's warning that leukemia would go up by a substantial amount, they were saying that they were finding fallout from our nuclear weapons tests on the North Pole and South Pole. We had satellites that could read radiation, and we had airplanes that could run by at 10,000 feet in the top of the atmosphere and scoop up some air and take a look at it and see what was in it. And we had radionuclei identifiable, and they could even pinpoint which test it came from. So, this, according to paulgunther.com, I hope I got the last name right, on NPR just yesterday, there is no place to go. So sit tight. And don't believe anything the government tells you at this point. I don't think you're going to see in tomorrow's paper 18,000 times normal or safe radiation in your rainwater and in your milk in Oakland or Berkeley. And it's much worse than I thought when we started this program. And things are getting out of hand. And all I can hope for is that guy lied to me.
I just want everybody to know that... your family counts, and you all just need to, get together with your friends and, figure out a meeting place where you can all meet. And this is a crisis all over the planet right now, and no one's really waking up to it at this point. And we're awake. We're, I keep telling my friends online I'm still alive, and they're checking in with me from all around the planet. But I want you all to know you need to get some kelp just for the low-level radiation. And if high-level radiation happens to occur, God save us all. That's what I have to say about that, because there's no getting away from it. You can't get away from it. You have to have a special bunker, lead lined, all that, and down in the ground, and uncontaminated food to eat. So y'all just take it easy. Don't freak out. Just, like a wise man, just try to, get through this and make your family contacts you need to make with all your friends, and, say some prayers for Japan, and say some prayers for our president, because he's not doing what he needs to be doing at all, and hasn't been for 3 weeks now. So there's my last statement against this country and the governors and the NWO and all those people that think they know what they're doing. They don't. Good night.
Thanks, Dave. So, continue your hope and we all love you.